Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, we're a two-man band with the best lead guitarist in the land. That's from a National Lottery advert from the early noughties. Radio advert.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. I just didn't want to stop you in full flow. It was like watching an albatross take off.
Isn't it weird?
Glorious.
Isn't it weird?
A wonder of the natural world.
What pops into your head?
Yeah,
isn't it strange?
It is weird what pops into your head. Mm. Welcome to episode 107 of the Luke and Pete Show.
Yeah, baby.
I'm Luke Moore. That man, that spectacularly trousered man there is Pete Donaldson.
It's like if you go to a posh, stately home, this is the sort of
wallpaper
you'd get.
Yeah. I'm thinking, do Farrow and Ball do wallpaper? I'll tell you what, Osborne and Little, George Osborne's family, they made their money making wallpaper.
Did they? Posh Osborne wallpaper.
Osborne and Little, yeah. Could be an Osborne little pair of trousers.
Fucking Osborne. Welcome back to the Luke and Pete Show. It's episode. Well, I didn't really pay attention.
I just said 107.
All right, 107. Good. Mm. Yeah. That's what's and I was saying that wasn't paying attention. So what have we learned? I had National Lottery radio adverts in my head. That's what was happening here. Hardesty Cycles, the home of the mountain bike.
There we go.
Yeah. Peter's Cathedral Bakers, the name says it all.
These radio adverts.
It doesn't say it all because if it's a Cathedral Bakers, you're sort of thinking, are you baking in a cathedral? It doesn't tell us anything about it, really.
No.
I mean, historically, maybe it started servicing the people who worked in a cathedral. I don't really know.
You famously did a good radio advert, which was Holloway Road Shops I Admire, to the sound of We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yeah, maybe we should stick that in at
some
point.
Have you still got that?
Probably somewhere.
It's brilliant.
Holloway Road Shops I Admire. Yeah. But then instead of saying...
The shops that we can all aspire.
Yeah.
And you listed all the Holloway Road shops in the Billy Joel style.
But I said aspire.
Pizza Hut at the end.
Global Internet.
Global Internet, that's right, yeah. I wonder if all those shops are there. That would be interesting.
No, Michael's High Class Fish Bar went...
That's a very pleasing name for a song, isn't it? Michael's High Class Fish Bar.
Yeah,
it really rolls off the tongue. Yeah.
Yeah, I was quite proud of that. That kind of stuck around for ages. But ultimately, sort of saying, Holloway Road Shops I Admire, facilities that we all aspire. It doesn't really aspire to, it kind of works a little bit.
It rhymes with admire,
certainly.
Which fundamentally,
struggle, really,
which fundamentally had to rhyme with fire for it to be identified as a rip-off of the original song.
Mm.
Not something you adhered to when you ripped off Girls on Film with Dads with Swords.
Dads with Swords, yeah.
Yeah, which was still worked very well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think having done about 12 years worth of work with you, so I wouldn't be able to sort of objectively discuss the stuff we've done together.
Right.
But I think Dads with Swords and Holloway Road Shops We Admire are probably your two finest pieces of work.
Dads with Swords ended up as a sword podcast theme. It was a men of advancing
sword podcast?
Yeah, like, you know, just blokes who are into fucking swords and stuff. I think the co-host, I think his wife, got in touch and said, "Hi, I found your Dads with Swords video. Could we use your Dads with Swords song as a sword podcast theme?"
But you don't own the song. It's a rip off.
It's up to them, though. It's up to them. They can deal with
it. You
say no.
She said no.
Legal vagaries.
Give me a free sword.
Give me a free sword. Give me one of your best swords. Give me your worst sword. Still better than all my swords.
Yeah, have a sword.
I do have a sword, and it's plastic.
When I was in...
bought it in Sweden.
Mine's bloody massive. It's not made of plastic. when I was in... where was I? I stayed in Boscastle in Cornwall, beautiful part of the world, for a weekend a couple of years ago. And it's quite near Tintagel. Tintagel is an amazing castle.
All of this up.
No, Tintagel is an amazing castle.
Tintagel. You should Google it. Tintagel.
Honestly, you should Google it. It's an amazing castle. And it's known for, to do with Arthurian legend, as being the place where King Arthur, the legendary King Arthur, was conceived.
Right.
Obviously, it's all bollocks, but it's a legend, right? And they dine out on it. Now, it's quite hard to explain if you're not familiar with it, but the castle itself is almost like a Game of Thrones type castle where it's off the mainland on a little rocky outcrop.
Archipelago.
With a bridge connecting it. And it's dilapidated now, and you can still see the ruins and stuff, and that's why you go there. Anyway, in Tintagel itself, the village, they've obviously got a bit of a lot of micro-economy around that type of stuff. Mm. So they've got these shops that sell, you know, the sort of shop you'd get in a place like that where it'll sell things like bongs and
rubbers,
sort of tie-dyed scarves.
Yes.
And that type of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But they also have like these medieval swords and behind these glass cabinets, and they're quite expensive. I mean, like, it'd be north of like 100 quid.
I reckon they sell like two of those a year.
Oh, well, this is the thing. And I thought, well, they must never sell any of those. Mm. But I went into one. I was in there just having a potter around. Mm. And there was a guy in there with a long black leather, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Long black leather
Matrix
coat.
Matrix boys.
Yeah.
Matrix boys.
But he's a bit older though.
Mm.
Long hair.
Matrix lad.
Yeah, Matrix man. And Nicolas Cage turned down the role of Neo in Matrix, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, I think
he
so.
He will do that. He's got that in him. He was going to be Superman at one point. I would have watched that shit out of that.
There was a press shot of that one. They were in the uniform and everything. Mm. Didn't he still get paid for that?
I don't know. He needs money. If you go to New Orleans, he's bought up most of New Orleans' spookiest buildings, and that's why he's skinned.
Yeah, I knew that he was bankrupt, yeah. I mean, that's such a Nicolas Cage thing to do. But anyway, going back to this shop in Tintagel selling swords, there's a bloke in there with a shop assistant who is just a Saturday boy, right? So he didn't know anything about swords.
No.
Right? He just works in there.
Mm.
It's not a sword specialist shop. And he's asking to look at all the different swords, and he's getting the sort of the weight of them, like he's like Jon Snow or something. And he's going, "Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, I like that one." And bear in mind, they're blunted anyway, right?
Yeah.
And he's pondering massively what swords he's going to buy. And I just remember standing there thinking, one, this is cool, and two, what are you going to use that sword for? You're going to put it on your look. You're going to put it on the wall, or you're going to commit a horrific crime, right? If you're going to commit a horrific crime, it's not the perfect crime, is it?
No.
Because everyone sees you in here.
Yeah.
So you don't need to worry about it. Just get the one you like the look of the most.
I like to think
put it on the wall.
That people running around with a sword, the sort of people who run around with swords is kind of, I think they realise they're going to be taken out pretty quickly. Because swords nowadays are quite unwieldy compared to a dagger. Yeah. There was a man last night, I was walking up the street behind, and it's Soho at, you know, 12:30 in the morning. There's always like crazy people just doing crazy stuff. And the sex trade. And there was a man in front of me, and he was like fucking weaving around, fucking angry. And it was only after about walking in behind him for about 5 minutes, I saw he had a broken bottle in his hand.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Wow.
Might give him a wider berth.
And could have been the same guy.
Went upstairs and he just started flipping out in Old Compton Street.
And what
then he kicked a bin over, and then the police came around, tried to find him. And then he came around, started giving the bouncer of Village, which is a bar on the end of my street, bit of aggro with a broken bottle in his hand, and then the police turned up, but by which he'd already disappeared. But then he came back again, and then back again, and then back again.
Yeah.
The police finally got all of him. And this that's my life.
This is what?
That's my life. My impression of Neil Hamburger. I've seen Neil Hamburger before.
No. Neil Hamburger!
He's like a kind of washed-up 70s kind of stand-up. Sort of joke character. He does a lot of work with Tim Heidecker.
Oh, is he like Brian Butterfield?
Little bit, yeah. And he's like, "Mom," and his like jokes are just fucking horrible.
Right.
And he sort of talks like this, and he always has two glasses of like brandy that he just spills down himself, and he's sweaty.
Sounds good. He sounds a bit like Doug Stanhope.
Yeah, a little bit of that, but not quite as good.
The greatest comedy tagline ever. I'm Doug Stanhope, and that's why I drink.
Yeah.
That broken bottle story. I was thinking.
Mm.
I was tapping away. Get me Sarah Koenig's number, because this is Serial season 3.
Yeah.
That's what should have happened.
Yeah.
We thought we'd spend a year in a normal courtroom for Serial season 3 because we definitely weren't looking for another Adnan Syed. And if we were, how come we weren't?
I'll be enjoying it.
I haven't heard it.
Well, don't criticise it then.
I will if I want.
All right.
I've just remembered I talked about Tintagel and Cornwall in a very early episode of the Luke and Pete Show.
You fucking cunt.
And I talked about the Museum of Witchcraft and Magic, and at the time you feigned interest, so I'm disappointed you haven't remembered that.
Well, I didn't know about the magic and witches. Can't be asked.
Not your thing.
Not my wheelhouse.
Look at your trousers off.
Right, let's take a break. We'll be back with some emails. Yep.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Keen eared listeners to the Radio Stakhanov network will realise that I've had a cough for about 2 months.
I haven't noticed that. Worrying. So I doubt they will.
Worrying.
Have you seen that?
Not long for this world.
There's an NHS advert about that.
What?
Something, if it goes on for longer than a certain amount of time, you should go to the doctor.
Fuck it.
Might be them cancers. That's why.
Might be them cancers.
I was going to say something to you before the break, and I can't remember what it is. Oh, yeah. Someone said that sort of technology to the generation before is indistinguishable from magic. So you know what I mean? So if you take it back a generation or whatever, people or a lifetime or whatever the quote is, people wouldn't be able to distinguish it between magic and technology.
Yeah.
So as someone who's hugely interested in technology, why do you slate magicians?
Well, you've kind of set up a bit of a straw man argument there, haven't you? Here's a thing a man has said or a woman has said. Why don't you agree with that?
Yeah.
When I had no opinion on it in the first place.
I'm just saying, I can see you head to toe in black. Because you would make a good incel, I think.
Why would I make a good... Yeah, well, I live like an incel.
You started off to say what, and then you answered your own question.
I own an iron, for one.
I live like an incel. Did you just
I
say that?
I live like an incel. But,
in what way?
But I'm like a little kind of little boy who plays video games, who owns a gaming chair. And a tap on the internet, go on 4chan, look, see what they're up to.
Could you perhaps do?
Do you contribute
to 4chan or just read it?
No, I don't really. I just think it's important to keep your eyes across stuff like that, because at the end of the day, it's them lot who got Trump in. That's the very much the Republican base.
Could you perhaps do a joke? Okay, what's it called? A parody song to Aerosmith's Living on the Edge, living like an incel.
Splinter incel. I could sort of live among them. The
fact that you're making video game jokes about being an incel might confirm that you do indeed live like an incel.
People know about Sam Fisher. It was a Tom Clancy vehicle, I believe.
It was.
You love a bit of TC.
I don't think I've ever read any. What was Tom Clancy done? I don't know if I've ever. Did he do Patriot Games?
God knows.
I've not read any of his stuff, I don't think. Should we turn to some emails?
Yeah. Before you know that place, Tintagel, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, which you don't even admit exists.
The place that King Arthur was conceived. Why don't they sell like kind of promotional Tintagel condoms? If you don't want to admit your own King Arthur, put this condom on.
Surely you do want to make your own King Arthur.
He probably had some dreadful things in his life.
He didn't exist, Pete.
So in the myth, he probably had some dreadful things.
He was a very noble king. That's the whole point of the legend, isn't it? He's a good lad.
Good lad.
It was those shits around the round table that mugged him off. Yeah.
Remember, didn't we go to Winchester to see the round table or something that was supposed to be?
So the original round table is in Winchester Cathedral, I think. Mm. Yeah, we saw it on the wall, didn't we?
I kept on getting Worcester and Winchester confused.
That's right. You were sending people to Worcester for a while. that round table on the wall in that cathedral, or I think it's a cathedral. Someone's just not that up.
There's very little else in that room, isn't there? It's kind of like, oh, look at that table. You know, you call this a cathedral? It's just a room, guys. Come on, get it together.
It looked like someone's knocked it up. it's in the Great Hall, apparently.
Okay.
We went to look at it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the table was apparently it dates from like the 12th century. But I don't think anyone's necessarily. Apparently it was made in like the 16th century or something.
Mm. But if you're gonna mount a table on a wall, it ceases to look like a table. It just looks like a big dartboard after that.
It does look like a dartboard.
Why would you do that? Stupid.
To me, do you know? I will say when I walked in there and saw it up on the wall, the first thing I thought was in one a garden furniture set. Dung, that's black. Dung. In four, a tease mate.
Very relaxing television.
I don't mind it. And do you know one thing I would say about Bullseye, and I'm actually pleased you reminded me of this, is if you watch Bullseye back, now for those listening overseas, Bullseye was the 70s and 80s, might have gone into the, squeaked into the 90s, darts-based quiz show. And people who are of our age and older, maybe even a bit younger, will definitely know what it is. And it was presented by a guy called Jim Bowen. I think he sadly passed away, quite recently, wasn't it? I think it was. And didn't he appear in Phoenix Nights as well? And he seemed like a pretty good egg. Anyway.
He came on the X-Men Breakfast Show and used the word gypsy. So we had to cut the line.
Right. Okay.
Sorry, Jim. You got to go. Bye. Sorry about that, everyone.
He's from the old school.
He is from the old school.
But he seems to me, anyway, at least, as a nice guy. And someone pointed out on the internet, I forget who it was now, but you can probably Google it, saying Jim Bowen was almost the type of presenter that you don't see these days. So these TV presenters these days, they're very slick, they're very sort of like blah, blah, blah. Mm. Bowen would get people, because Bullseye featured like ordinary people paired up with darts players to win prizes. Mm. And sometimes the guy who shared this shared a clip of Jim Bowen speaking to these two ordinary people from, I don't know, Wigan or whatever. Mm. And it was in the time when poverty was, you know, it was the 80s, right? So it was difficult. Manufacturing was going down the pan. Mm. Poverty was everywhere. And he spent like a decent amount of time talking to them after, because normally he would just say, oh, here's Bob and Joe from Wigan. They would say, Bob, how's work? How's it going up there?
Yeah.
How are you guys getting on? And almost really taking the time to understand that people in normal jobs, in normal situations around the country, were going through a really difficult time. And honestly, it shows, he's a funny guy, and obviously he can be set up as a bit of a joke character, but it showed real empathy. And someone was just pointing out that sort of stuff just doesn't exist anymore, because the people who do TV shows now haven't come up through the working men's clubs. Mm. They aren't like normal people, are they? I mean, Jake Humphrey's not a normal person, is he?
No, but you've got to be better, though. I mean, end of the day, it's still showbiz, isn't it? I mean, I watched Jim Boyne interview a woman from Birmingham who was mixed race. She's got, and it was basically the old man conversation equivalent of like, but where are you really from?
Okay.
Where are you from? You've got beautiful eyes.
But what year? What year is this?
I mean, it'd be like in the 80s, wouldn't it?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But where are you, you say you're from Birmingham, but come on now. We're looking at you. You're not originally from Birmingham. Right? No, I'm from Birmingham. Where are you really from?
What's your point here?
I'm saying that in 2018, that doesn't look great.
No, it doesn't. But
that doesn't look super smashing or great.
Well, in 2018, the Amritsar massacre doesn't look great. We can't continually judge. I'm not defending it. We can't judge people 35 years ago on today's standards, can we?
Yeah, just don't put it on challenge, though. when we used to do challenge, when I used to do the voiceovers
for challenge.
When I used to do the voiceovers for challenge,
I would argue that's exactly the TV challenge it should be on.
He would apparently, I can't remember which phrases he used to use. I think Super Smashing Great was his copyright and you couldn't use it.
Oh, really?
You couldn't use Super Smashing Great. Something, what was the nothing in this game for two in a bed? I think you couldn't use that.
He's not catchphrasing that, is
he?
You
couldn't use a load of stuff.
He's not copyrighted that, is it? When else
I think
would that
Super
be relevant?
Smashing Great might definitely be one of his and you can't use it.
He's dead now.
He's dead now. So probably you can.
We've talked
the
about
statute of limitations of Super Smashing
on to
Great.
It, passes on to his son. We talked about Michael Buffer and Let's Get Ready to Rumble, didn't we?
Oh, right, okay.
$400 million he's made out of that.
What, Let's Get Ready to Rumble?
Yeah.
Magical.
What a man.
What a man. Let's Get Ready to Rumble. Because Rumble's like, I don't think Rumble ever was kind of applied to a fight before. Is Rumble's like just a...
Have you heard of the Rumble in the Jungle?
Yeah.
Yeah. But biggest boxing match of all time.
Yeah, but didn't that come from him saying, let's get ready to Rumble?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Was it not PJ and Duncan anyway? Let's move on.
But you know, Michael Buffer is this really slick, broadcasting type. But he's, you know that type of slick broadcaster, Pete, that you only get in America?
Yes.
It's that kind of guy.
Tits and teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely right. Well summed up. And Costello and Bunce is one of the finest podcasts outside of the Radio Stakhanov stable. Obviously, Mike
We've
Costello
done so many
and Steve
plugs,
Bunce.
But other...
Yeah. And it's brilliant. It's a masterclass in boxing, in broadcasting. And obviously, it's about boxing. And they will broadcast directly after a big fight. So recently, the Anthony Joshua one, for example. And they'll just grab whoever they can. Mm. So they're grabbing like David Haye, people at ringside, trainers, and boxers themselves sometimes.
Yeah.
And they grabbed Michael Buffer on the most recent one, who was doing the announcers. And he's a boxing brain. He loves the sport. He knows lots about it. And he's very interesting to listen to. But it became evident quite early on in the interview that he's drinking a beer, but he thinks that's bad for his image. So every time like Steve Bunce, who's a bit mischievous, starts referencing the fact, we've got him here. And he's drinking a beer. And you can hear Michael Buffer go, no.
This is a club soda.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, old school glamour. Right, let's get some emails. Pete, have you got an email ready?
Yeah.
On the back of that? Why don't you read it then, pal?
All right, then. I've opened Johnny Dunn's. That was a mistake, wasn't it? Never mind. Hello to Richard, the island of Barra.
Hello, Dick.
Islander Barrett, what? Hello. On episode 103 of the Luke and Pete Show, you were talking about the man who ran across the airport at Dublin Airport to get his flight. It reminded me of my last trip last year to the island of Barra, where the plane lands on the beach, and this landing can be impacted by tide times and weather conditions. Only 9 people can get in the plane. It was amazing taking off from Glasgow Airport with all these jumbo jets and us being such a small plane. It was an incredible experience and one I will not forget. I can imagine it would be much easier to run and try and stop this plane. I've included 3 photos. Look, so this is Richard Cook from the West Nars of Scotland. Look at how rudimentary.
Oh, mate, it looks absolutely amazing.
Isn't that
amazing.
Incredible?
It looks
a tiny little plane with its rotors. Again, it can only fit 9 people in. And the Barra Airport baggage reclaim is just like a bush shelter.
That's what the baggage reclaim is like on the Cook Islands.
Beautiful.
Yes, but obviously it's a bit warmer there. Mm. The reason I've heard of Barra is obviously because I've been to the west coast of Scotland quite a bit. I've never actually been to Barra, but Barra do a this thing called the Barathon.
Right, okay.
Which is, I think, a half marathon around the island. And the reason I think there might have been a blog post about it a while back or something. It genuinely looks like the most beautiful race you could ever do. Obviously, it's a bit of a trek to get there, but if you can get there.
Isn't there a town in Wales that has become like the hotspot for like Ironman kind of runs? And like, stuff.
To the point where a massive percentage of the population get involved.
Yeah,
yeah, I've read about that.
Yeah, something like 30% of people have run an Ironman, which is mental. Yeah.
That's crazy. Ironman, of course, you have to swim and cycle as well.
Yeah, and it's kind of changed the entire kind of like tourist industry around that time. So there's hope for the slightly more down at heel areas of the UK.
Well, don't judge them, mate. It might be a very nice place.
Hartlepool could be brilliant. Hartlepool could be brilliant to do a little Ironman. Across the Tees.
How good would you be at this point at a triathlon if they gave you all the gear?
I can't run.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't do any of it. I am joining Chris from Abroad in Japan, the other podcast I do, or one of them, on like a bit of a cycle from Kyoto to Osaka, I think.
Because you know what an Ironman triathlon? Because there's different types of triathlons. There's like a normal triathlon, a half Ironman, an Ironman. There's lots of different types. Are you aware of what an Ironman triathlon actually is?
I just do a bit of swimming, do a bit of cycling, do a bit of running, and then fucking talk about it the rest of the year. Fucking yeah.
Yeah, how do you know someone's done an Ironman? They tell you.
They tell you, yeah.
It's a 2.4-mile swim, so that is, I think it's 100 lengths of a pool.
Right. Yeah. I mean, is there a doggy paddling option? Because that's probably what I would have to do. I'd have to do a backstroke, because there's only stroke I can do. To any sort of level.
In fact, that's 200 lengths of a 25-metre pool, isn't it?
Let's not get into the weeds on this one.
112-mile bike ride. So that's like riding your
bike. All in one day?
You do it one after the other.
Good God.
Guess what run you have to do? Full marathon.
So what's a full marathon?
26.2 miles.
I've never done a run in my life. I got signed up to the London Marathon. Obviously quite an important marathon that everyone gets very excited about, and you know, people would kill to be on it. Wussed out.
Did you? You didn't even bother starting the training.
I bust my ankle, to be honest. I couldn't really.
You have
stand
got.
On
you
it.
Do get a lot of injuries.
Do get a lot of ankles. So, but they made me a custom morph suit. You remember Morph from Tony Hart? You know, before everybody started getting those stupid morph suits and going to the fucking cricket and being a dickhead.
You had one, yeah.
I had one that was custom made to my my body. And it was
so at least
it
you,
was take,
you are
was
you are at least when you're know the wackiness that you get extolled. At least you're professionally wacky, you know.
It was a woman from the College of Fashion on Charing Cross Road
doing
who did it
properly.
She did it properly.
I remember when I turned up. So when we do live shows for the theatre show for the Ramble, we do videos, and you are basically the author of them. And I remember once turning up to the studio to record a podcast, and you were in a full green screen suit from head to toe. Your face was covered, everything. One of my favourite photos of you, and you told us what we had to do. And I thought to myself at that point, he's a bit of a wacky one, this one, but he is at least professional with it.
Yeah.
He takes the wackiness seriously.
I need to expense that green suit.
So
it's only 5 years ago.
So your plan was to do a marathon in the morph suit.
Yeah.
But you didn't even do any training.
I didn't do any training. Well, I couldn't do any training because I busted my ankle. I think I did a little mini run.
How long?
It's hard though, isn't it?
It's all right, yeah.
Going around the park.
So just to give you a quick understanding of this. So most Ironman events apparently have a limited time of 17 hours to complete.
Fucking hell.
And they start at 7 in the morning. So the mandatory cutoff for the swim is 9:20 in the morning. And then after that, the bike cutoff time is 5:30 p.m. So you've got 8 hours, 10 minutes to do the bike ride. By this point, you're like, that's a full day's work.
Why do people sort of put themselves through this?
And after that, the mandatory cutoff for the marathon is midnight. So essentially, you're expected to run from 7 a.m. to midnight, and however quick you can do it, you can do it. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Like, why do I have the opinion that I have that it's a bit kind of, anybody who yaps on about running, I just like, oh, shut up.
It's the same with everything, though, isn't it? People are passionate about certain stuff. You can say that about people who like to be vegan, which we have said, and you've said this on this show.
Yeah, no, I don't have a go at vegans, do I?
People just like to show off about stuff, don't they?
Yeah, or something that you're into, I guess. People sort of get excited. I mean, I talk about Japan fucking constantly, but I'm genuinely into it. I think there's more to Japan than there is to running, though, I would sort of argue. It's just run over there and your lungs are going, why? And your legs are going, why?
Swimming would be good for your asthma, by the way.
You say that.
It's not, no. Why not?
It's just... So it's football. I do football every week, so...
You don't get on, though, do you? You don't play.
I do play. When you pay your subs, you pay.
And that is a deal-breaker.
Yeah, exactly.
What about this email from Jamie, who says, "Hi, guys. I'm just catching up on room 101, 102, and my suggestion is people who say PIN number, despite it standing for personal identification number, so it's not necessary to add the word number at the
end." Have we not sort of spoken about this? It's like ATM, isn't it? ATM machine. Look for an ATM machine. Automatic teller machine.
Ugh. ATM.
ATM. It's already there. It's already in there.
My final suggestion is when I'm in a train station at 6 a.m. bleary-eyed buying a paper and the WH Smith staff still ask me if I want a massive bar of chocolate for a pound. Fuck off, mate. I'm buying a scientific calculator. I don't want a block of Oreo. Well, you said you're buying a paper. I don't know why you're buying a scientific calculator at 6 a.m.
Yeah. They do sell them at the Tillsford, don't they? It's really strange. To paraphrase Mitch Hedberg, when I go into Pret a Manger, I just buy like a banana or a nectarine. And they go, "Do you want a receipt?" He's going, "I'm never going to prove. I need to prove that. I'm never going to prove that I bought a nectarine."
Expenses, mate.
Expenses, mate. Expenses.
More Keith Cooks news. Do you want some of that?
Oh yeah, yes, please.
So Keith Cooks is now aware of us.
Uh oh.
We've become self-facilitating nodes in the Keith Cooks world, and.
Are we canon? Are we Keith Cook's canon?
We might be soon. What some naughty little sausage of this parish has got in touch with Keith on his YouTube channel.
What a shit.
And posted a comment saying, Pete Donaldson loves your channel.
Yeah.
And he told listeners to check it out. If you go onto iTunes podcast and search for the Week in Pete Show, they mention how great your channel is.
Yeah.
Keith Cook's replies.
Yeah.
After his email to us.
Yeah.
So this is a development.
Right.
Saying, "Cool. I thought some of it was a bit negative, but hey."
Oh.
How does that make you feel, Pete?
It makes me really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you should do a tribute long egg.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know what to say.
You've brought misery and negativity to that man's life.
I think sometimes you got to kind of roll with the punches. I don't mind if people slag off my work. I mean, my work is genuinely terrible. But the amount of people who were on Twitter who will say...
Your work's not terrible, your output's terrible.
Yeah.
It's average.
My attitude's dreadful.
Yeah,
as well.
It's really poor, yeah.
A lot of people criticise my voice, so...
What do they say?
Wanker? Shit. I don't understand why this is a really good example of it. I don't understand why people would would not sort of complain about my stories, because they start in the middle, they go outwards. I don't have the power of sentence structure. I say a lot. I say like a lot. I don't know how anyone can listen to this.
To me, you're a Dele Alli type broadcaster. Instinctively, you're very good.
Yeah, and sometimes I switch off.
When you've got time to think about it or you have to maintain focus, I think you find it quite difficult.
Oh, I'm sad about Keith Cooks. Sorry, Keith Cooks.
Well, he's not listening now, is he?
He might be. I would be.
He's basically tuned into episode 100, thought these people are slagging me off.
No,
he's not been listening to episode 107, is he?
No, I think 100 is quite complimentary.
Which is the one that's the one where you slag him off the most?
I didn't slag him off. I just said, look at this guy. He's
he's a rubbish cook.
No, I'm not saying he was. Good cooks don't attempt a long egg because it's just a long egg. and
we saw
and
Fred Darnish do it.
You did, and he's not a cook.
No, he's not.
He's the how-to science man. No, his I'm not, and I'm definitely not backtracking here. My delight at this man was his presentational style, where he would constantly just burn his hands on some hot water and then go, oh, I'm cooking with a waste pipe. That's why it's funny. I'm not slagging out any other part of his life. His kitchen's nice.
You're mocking him. You are mocking him.
I'm mocking him.
Speaking of cooks, did you see, you know, Tom Kerridge? You're not into this sort of stuff, are you?
Who's that?
Tom Kerridge is the guy who runs The Hand and Flowers. It's a two Michelin star pub in Marlow in Buckinghamshire. Okay. He was a big fat lad. Now he's lost a lot of weight.
Right.
Bald guy, friendly, smiley face. Looks like an egg with a face drawn on.
Okay. Long egg?
He looks like a long egg with a smiley face drawn on. He's just opened a traditional British classics restaurant in a hotel in town somewhere out in London. I can't remember where. And I don't think he's boasting about it, but I guess the PR guff and the press and stuff is talking about how he's developed the best ever fish and chips.
Okay.
And it's you get like a beautiful battered piece of cod or whatever it is, and you get these homemade dips. And you get like a homemade curry sauce, a homemade tartar sauce, and a ketchup or whatever.
Oh, I'd be up for that.
Yeah, and you get 12 quite thick, chunky, latticed, stacked, triple-cooked chips.
Like Jenga.
Yeah.
Jenga.
And it looks amazing. £33.
Well, if someone's gone to the time, I don't mind spending 30 quid on a main, to be honest.
33 quid on a main. It doesn't look big enough, Pete. It looks like I could eat about four of them.
Do you reckon? There has to be enough food there, definitely.
I mean, I would do that challenge, but that would cost me £132, so I'm not going to do that. So yeah, anyway, we should end on Keith Cooks, because Keith Cooks deserves headline billing on this show. I've always respected him. Yeah. I don't know about you, Pete.
You'd never heard of him before me.
And now I like him.
Well, I like him too. I've grown very fond of him. George Dawes on Vicar, who obviously did a lot of work with Vic Cruise and Bob Mortimer, the first time he saw Vic and Bob on the telly, he could not believe they'd managed to get onto BBC Two. Yeah. And he wrote a letter of complaint to the BBC saying, "What is this shit?"
Yeah.
And then he realised they were really good. So, fuck you, Keith Cooks. Eat my dick.
The real story is you said...
Eat my long dick.
You said, I found this YouTube channel of a man...
Yeah.
And I'd like to exploit him. And I said, no.
It's not exploiting.
I said, you can have him on the show.
Definitely.
But you have to tone it down because I respect the man.
I did not say any of that. Let's get over, you bloody rotter.
All right, we'll be back next time with episode 108.
In history.
Speak soon.
Shitbag.
Stay out of trouble. Look after yourself. I haven't finished yet, Pete, for goodness sake.
Right.
Stay out of trouble. Look after yourselves and each other. And we'll be back next time.
Respect Keith.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym... for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.